We're going to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 34. Chapter 34. And I'd like to share on the subject today of they believed. The they being the apostles on the day of Pentecost and the people who heard God's word that day. And, you know, that they believed it and what they believed. They believed what God had said that day. They believed what God had promised that day. They believed and then they received. And what an example they are to us. But I'd like to look at, you know, there's a magazine called People Magazine. People, you know, people are always interested in who's, you know, people that read it. Interested in the people that are in that magazine. Well, we're going to look at people today. And these people are those that on the day of Pentecost that's recorded in the book of Acts, they believed God. So we're going to start, though, we're going to back up to Exodus chapter 34. There's a lot of books in between that we're going to read today. Only kidding. Twice. Because today marks the day of Pentecost, Pentecost marks the Christian church. It's beginning. It's when it first started. And it started by the outpouring of the gift of Holy Spirit that God gave to the apostles and then later that day to about 3,000 other people. And, you know, I know a lot of the Christian church today doesn't make much of a big deal of it, mainly because they don't really do much with the gift of the Holy Spirit. They don't know a whole lot about it. But before it was the birthday of the church, it was a Judean holiday. It was a Judean feast, actually. There are three feasts that we're going to just briefly look at that God wanted the children of Israel to partake in. And they were 1 week long each. And they gathered together for a whole week, got in the Word, worshiped God, praised God, had a reverence for God, enjoyed one another's fellowship. Imagine if we had that opportunity in today's time. That every 3 or 4 months, every 4 months, we'd take a whole week off, and that we would be able to do that, let all our responsibilities go, and they're still there when you get back. The world didn't fall apart. But 3 times a year, to just take a whole week and get saturated with God's greatness and His love. Wish we could do that in today's time. We can, I guess, but here in the Old Testament, it was a command. They had to do it. They had to go have some fun. So in chapter 34, we're going to look at verse 18 and briefly look at these three things. The first one was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Verse 18, the Feast of Unleavened Bread shalt thou keep. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread as I commanded thee, in the time of the month of Abib, for in the month of Abib thou camest out of Egypt. All that openeth the matrix is mine, and every firstling among the cattle, whether ox or sheep, that is male. But the firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou redeem him not, then shalt thou break his neck. All the firstborn of thy son shalt thou redeem, and none shall appear before me empty. So they're supposed to come to that feast without empty hands. They're supposed to come to that feast with what God had told them to come with. They're not supposed to come to a feast empty, like nothing to give, nothing to be a part of, just to show up. God wants us to come to His Word with a heart that's not empty. You know, He wanted those believers to come to that feast with stuff. And we'll see later, there's because we'll read it. God had a covenant with these believers. And He had a part in it, and they had a part in it. And their part was to come ready to receive and ready to give a reverence to God Almighty. So that's the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And Passover is part of that, which we're familiar with Passover. Verse 21. 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest time thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks. of the first fruits of the wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Now the Feast of Weeks, that's Pentecost. There are four names for this feast. One's the Feast of Weeks. One is called the Feast of Harvest. One is also called the Day of First Fruits. And it was later called Pentecost. Pentecost is a Greek word for 50. And the reason why it's that is because they counted 7 weeks and a day. And that's how they got to Pentecost. That's why it's called the Feast of Weeks. If you want a really good explanation of it in detail, there's a section towards the end of this book, Jesus Christ Our Passover, that goes over the three feasts. And it's pretty remarkable. The Feast of Weeks is considered the celebration of the time of the giving of the law. You know, with Moses receiving the law on Mount Sinai. Pentecost, that they were celebrating, is the giving of the gift of Holy Spirit. And that's what we celebrated as. They celebrated as the giving of the Judean law. So, here we go in, we're going to do verse 25. Thou shalt not offer the blood of any sacrifice with leaven, neither shalt thou sacrifice at the feast of the Passover be left until the morning. The first of the first fruits of the land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And then there's the third one, which we're not going to read. But look at that, how God made a covenant with Israel for these three feasts. He was going to take care of them, bless them, cause great abundance to them, and they were to not come empty. They were to come to the table, so to speak, bringing something of their heart and life to God Almighty, to reverence Him. So it's interesting when it comes to the day of Pentecost that we're going to look at that heart that they were to come with. So now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So that those three feasts were celebrated for centuries from the children of Israel. And the one we're going to look at, the day of Pentecost, is the one that the Lord Jesus Christ, the year that Jesus Christ was crucified. And that one is the game changer as far as the start of a whole new period of time in the Bible. And in verse 7 of chapter 5, purge out therefore the old leaven that you may be a new lump. That's funny. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Jesus Christ became the sacrificial lamb that year. And again, this book really lays out in great detail how Jesus Christ became the Passover lamb and all the tie-ins to the Old Testament laws and feasts. And it's incredible. It's mind-blowing when you really work it. But he, that year, was the Passover lamb, unbeknownst to most of Israel. And he became the Savior. And that just changed everything. So the one we're going to look at is in Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost that we're going to be, that we want to look at, is in Acts chapter 2. But before we get there, we're going to go to Luke chapter 24. Sorry, I'm just a little excited.
Luke 24.
Luke 24. Now, during the time of the capturing of the Lord Jesus Christ and his beatings and the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles that followed them around and were learning God's word and other believers were in a whirlwind of confusion and unbelief. Now we look back or we look at the Bible and we say, oh, okay, he was beaten, he was crucified, and he was in the hard air for 3 days. He rose up from the dead. And it looks so simple to us. But they, going through it, it was a whole different scenario. And they were people just like us that had to learn, had to grow, had to change our, you know, we change our mind, we get to a point where we believe the word. They had to go through all those same processes that anybody else did. They weren't born just believing God's word. They had to figure it out and move with it. And we're going to take a little glimpse of that confusion and perplexity and unbelief. And we're going to read chapter 24, and it's right after the right after the resurrection, but before anybody knew about it, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came," and it's referring to the women, some women, "came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away." It was a giant stone that was rolled in front of the tomb to protect, the guards put it there so nobody could steal the Lord Jesus Christ's body and say, you know, he rose up. So the stone was rolled away, verse 3, "And they answered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they said, hallelujah, he rose from the dead. We knew it would happen. We're so excited." Oh, no, that's not what it says. "And it came to pass as they were much perplexed." Why would they be much perplexed? If he had told them before that he was going to get raised from the dead, the scripture said he was going to get raised from the dead, he mentioned it a number of times, and they actually see it and they go, what's going on? They were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." These are angels. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words." It's like, oh yeah, okay. It's a monumental event. It's the pivot point of all mankind. Oh yeah, that's right. You know, it's just a perplexity in their hearts. They remembered his words. Verse 9, "And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of Jesus and other women that were with them, which told them these things unto the apostles." And the apostles were really excited after they heard that. Look at verse 11. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not." These are his apostles. These are like the guys that actually walked with him and saw him do the things he did a lot of things themselves with the word, with God's power. And the word idle tales, it basically means nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is just stupid talk here. So they just didn't get it. And this was the best God had. And they hear about the resurrection, and to them, it's like idle tales. Believe them not. "Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." He's trying to figure it out in his heart. They're not terrible people. They just didn't get it yet. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are so sad? You guys look like you just got out of a funeral or something. Why are you so sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? I just think this is humorous. What things? What's going on over there? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. You know, we thought he was the guy. And now he's dead. That's why we're so sad. We thought he was it. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have received a redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said, he is alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. So they heard of the resurrection and they still were sad. They still were like, oh man, we thought he was the guy. It just wasn't computing. Just wasn't. It was, and these were wonderful people. Loved God, but didn't quite get it yet. Something. So, Jesus, verse 25, it says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And he departs. And breaks bread with them, and then he leaves. We're going to pick it up in verse 36. Jesus is appearing to the apostles. And it says, and as these guys came and reported what happened, and as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were excited and thrilled and jumping up and down. No. They were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you so troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. It's me, guys. I'm standing right here in front of you. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondering, he said unto them, have you here anything to eat? That's my guy. We're going to have some food. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. You guys have seen this stuff. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. There's the promise. You know, you just wait in Jerusalem and just wait there and wait for that promise of the Father. Verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God, praising and blessing God. Amen. Now we're going to go to Acts chapter 1 and pick up at the same spot which we just left off in Luke 24. So that kind of gives you a background as far as where these people were in their thinking and in their belief just prior to Pentecost. So verse 4 of chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, this is that thing in Bethany we just read, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Pretty soon. Didn't tell him what day, but just pretty soon is going to happen. So pretty soon means pretty soon. Could happen tomorrow, could happen a week, 2 weeks. Not going to be 10 years. They knew that. Not many days hence. So they ask him a question. He gives them an answer. Verse 8, but you shall, and here's his answer, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these words, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These are angels. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And here's the big game changer. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. They didn't say, I don't believe that stuff. That stuff is idle. I don't know about that promise of the Father. Let's go do something else. Let's go fishing. Something clicked. Remember it says that Jesus went through all those scriptures and helped them to understand the scriptures. Something clicked in their heart. They started getting it. And they did what Jesus Christ told them to do, which was go to Jerusalem and wait. Go to Jerusalem and just wait. And so they do. They go there, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And they spent these 10 days in Jerusalem waiting. And the things they did were they got things in order because Judas had decided to cash out, check out. He didn't believe, and he dealt with his life in a terrible way. But the other wanted to grow and move, and they did. And so they're dealing with his ministry, and they are praying, and they're going to the temples, it says in Luke. And they're figuring it out. There's a lot of scripture that's written in chapter 1 and chapter 2 that of stuff that Jesus Christ told them or what's in the Old Testament. And they're figuring it out. Instead of saying, I don't know if I believe that stuff. I saw that empty tomb, but I don't know about that. they're changing. Their lives are changing. That's why I said, we're looking at the people, what they did. They believed what God said. They believed the promise, and they received. So this is their preparations of working the word in their lives to the point where they got it. They got it. So when the day of Pentecost started, verse 1 of chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were in the temple, and they were there for the hour of prayer, which happened all the time. and there they are. Now, when they got there, what do you think may have been in their heart? Did they go empty-hearted? I don't think so. and this is a feast, a Pentecost feast. It was the same feast that they celebrated the year before, that they celebrated 2 years before, that they celebrated 4 years before, and for centuries. And they were supposed to go, none was supposed to come empty, right? Their hands empty. They were supposed to come prepared to reverence God, to worship God, to praise God. They brought their stuff, It's a covenant. God did his stuff. They were to do their stuff. So it's not like they just happened to be in the temple. Another day in the temple. You know, I know he said that we were going to receive something, but I don't know if we're going to do that. They could have been thinking that way, but they didn't. It's interesting. You know, what do we come to fellowship with? Do we come with a heart that's ready to receive? A heart that's ready to contribute? Or are we an empty? If we're really on empty, that's okay. But if you believe the word, you're not going to be on empty for too long. If you go to the gas station, your tank will get filled. As long as you got some money. Or a credit card. Or somebody else's money. But your tank can get filled. So we don't go to one another empty-hearted. It's really interesting. When they went to that temple that day, they went with hearts ready to receive. Really incredible. Really incredible. What an example to us. So Acts chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They received the gift of Holy Spirit, and these are the first people that did so in the grace administration. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. The word devout means pious or very, you know, they were just very believing type of people. They loved God, had a reverence for God. And they were there for that Pentecost feast. They made all the work that it took to get there for that week. Just like we've been to festivals, we've been to camps. It takes a little work to get there, to kind of shut down what you're doing and move yourself elsewhere. You know, it's a lot of preparation and a lot of work. And these guys did it because they had a great reverence for God. They were there for the day of Pentecost to celebrate one of those covenanted feasts. And all of a sudden, they see these 12 guys speaking in tongues. And it just rocked their lives. Verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, referring to what just happened, the multitude came together and were confounded. They were stymied because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, aren't these guys all Galileans? And how hear we every man, every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And it lists all these different countries and places. Verse 11, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So they heard them, these apostles were speaking in tongues, which when we speak in tongues, there's no guarantee we're going to speak in a language that somebody else, a foreigner, would understand. It was a specific for this particular moment, but it was speaking in tongues, and it just rocked their boat. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? What meaneth this? It's an honest question. What the heck is going on? We're here for Pentecost, and what are you guys doing? So they asked, it's a great question. What meaneth this? Others, verse 13, mocking, said, these men are full of new wine. But it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, so unlikely event. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But I don't know what's going on either. We've been wondering. We saw that open tomb, but we're kind of wondering what's going on too. No, by this point, he really got it and understood and was believing. Verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, and this is a quote from the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And then he goes on and goes, talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and about things concerning David and how David saw the future, you know, that the Christ would rise, and that God had shown people through the Old Testament that Jesus Christ was going to resurrect from the dead. And goes through a lot of different things. And then in verse 36, he concludes, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And this is the other group that I mentioned, great, you know, where they believed. They didn't say, I don't know about that, Peter. I'm not quite sure. And when they were pricked, and they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, which basically means to change your thinking, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and in the same day they were added, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So about 3,000 people that heard Peter teach about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift of Holy Spirit, and what was available and how to get it, believed. And when it says in verse 41, they were baptized, they're baptized with the gift of Holy Spirit, not water baptized. So they spoke in tongues. Now that must have been pretty cool. But what believing those 12 apostles had, they got up every morning waiting for this promise to come to pass. And then now it's the day of Pentecost, they're in the temple. I'm sure if we were in that situation, we'd probably be poking each other and say, hey, today could be today. I mean, we do that all the time with the coming of the, you know, Jesus Christ coming back. It can be, you know. Tony and I were talking about that one in the foyer. You know, today could be today. We're going vertical. Well, they could be tapping each other and say, hey, today could be the day. We could be receiving that promise from the Father. They didn't go to that temple empty-hearted. Remember what we read in Exodus 34? The commandment from God was, I don't want you guys coming to this feast empty-handed. Isn't that something? And these men got their act together in that short little 10-day period. It didn't take them 12,000 years. they're 92. Ah, I finally got it. 10 days, they got their act together to a point that they could receive from God Almighty. Isn't that something? That's incredible. So what an example to us, the things that are before us that God places right in front of our eyes and says, I want you to receive this. Whether it be a healing, whether it be a joyful heart, whether it be whatever the thing that we have that's our need. If we look at what God's word says and what can happen and believe it, and don't say, yeah, I see that tomb empty, but, you know, gosh, the Roman soldiers, they could have rolled that stone and they could have stole his body. And I'm not going to be hoaxed by stuff like that. We could say that to God and say, yeah, I don't know about that power you said. Could. I don't want to be one of those people. So we just keep believing what God's word says. And there's challenges that come up. There's fears that come up that, you know, you never had before, perhaps. And they could be overcome with the power of God. So it's really wonderful. And that was a covenanted feast. The guy said, look, you come and do your part of the bargain, and I am absolutely taking care of my end of the bargain. And here it is. And Jesus Christ, before he ascended, last thing he said, get to Jerusalem and wait. And they did it. Pretty cool. So we have a lot of examples for believing in God's word, and that's one of them. But those people got up. They got up just like we. You put both feet on the floor eventually. If you only got one foot, you put your one foot on the floor. And you get going. Right? That's the way it is.